Hello, this is Marlena, and welcome to the Marlena program. And we may be having a technical issue, Dave. Hopefully it is on our end and not on ACB radio end. So we're going to proceed as though we aren't having a technical issue. And yeah, it's definitely not just us, because I'm hearing... Ah, there we are. Ah, Gary the board guy says we're up. Okay. Well, I tell you what, there is nobody better to bring to my program with a bang and phones ringing and bells going off than my good friend and our ACB Constitution and Bylaws Committee Chair, Mr. Ray Campbell. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Marlena, how you doing?
What'd you do to my stuff?
What'd I do to...
You broke my stuff.
I gotta leave my mark on it somehow.
There you go. There you go. Welcome to my program. I'm so glad that we finally were able to work this out. You know, we've talked about it for last year we talked about it, and then it kind of didn't happen for this or that reason. And so I'm really glad to have you on as part of my pre-convention series.
All right. Well, I'm happy to be here. I think it's, especially this year, with as many people as are going to convention, I think it's really important for people to understand how the business of ACB gets transacted and how they can be a part of it. And that's what my committee helps people do, is be a part of it. So we're certainly looking forward to some great discussion tonight.
Well, let me just start off by doing a little bit of housekeeping here. First of all, the telephone number to call is 866-666-7926. We'll let you know when the lines are open. We kind of try to keep them closed for the first few moments so that our guest has a chance to kind of set the stage here. And the other bit of housekeeping, and I know my regular listeners get so sick of hearing this, but because this program is replayed 24 hours a day for the first replayed every 2 hours for the first 24 hours and then is available for podcast downloading, I always like folks to know that if you're listening to this program at any time other than 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific on a North American Sunday night, or Monday morning on a very early 1 Universal Monday morning, you have a repeat. And so you should put your feet up and enjoy the program. So, Ray, let's start off before we get into the Constitution and Bylaws piece, and let's paint a bit of a picture of Ray Campbell. You're very active within ACB, and how long have you been in the organization?
Been in the organization about 15 years. I went to my first ACB meeting in June of 1990 in Chicago at a chapter meeting there, and I was able to, I've been very fortunate to have been able to fit into a number of roles in ACB. I've been a member of the State Board for the Illinois Council of the Blind for 14 consecutive years. I've done a lot of legislative work, and I'm blessed with good speech making and writing abilities and things like that, which have really been very helpful. But I've been blessed also to work with a lot of good people. And nationally, I served on the Resolutions Committee for 4 years. Burned the midnight oil, had to give up partying for a few conventions to serve on Resolutions. But that was a real pleasure, because I tend to be a person that loves to deal with the issues and that kind of thing. And that's where a lot of the issues ACB deals with are discussed in Resolutions. And then about 3 years ago, President Chris Gray asked me if I'd like to chair the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, and my first response is, couldn't you find somebody better to do it than that? And he said, no, I can't. So I was real honored, and my first convention was Houston, chairing the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, and this is my fourth year doing that. I've also been somewhat involved with the Blind Information Technology Specialists, and just try to get involved with as many things and learn about as much stuff as I can through not only going to conventions, but also participating on the ACB email list and that kind of thing.
So you, you know, we had Jeff Tom on a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about the resolutions committee. So one way that, people can kind of get a good feel for getting involved in ACB, of course, is through our committees.
Absolutely. And I think that there's been a lot of emphasis in the last few years, which I'm glad to see, of getting more people involved in committees and working toward that. I know there's been a lot of discussion over the past several years in that. And I think it's real important not only to get more people involved in committees, but I also think it's important, even if somebody's not on a committee, to you know, if you have some spare time at a convention, go to resolutions, go to constitution and bylaws, or any other committee that you might be interested in. See how they do business. See, listen to and learn about the kinds of things that they're talking about, and get involved that way. You can really learn a lot about what's going on and about how ACB functions by doing that. That's how I did it.
And one of the joys, one of the many joys of ACB, of course, is that our committees are open. And even if you're not on a committee, that shouldn't stop you from respectfully voicing your opinion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've done it many a time.
No, not you.
In fact, I remember the first time I went to a resolutions committee meeting and I was voicing my opinions about some things, and the chairman at the time cornered me at before dinner the next night, and he said, "You know, people like you end up on committees." And I said, I'm fully aware of that, I'm going to keep on talking.
And now look where you are.
You betcha.
You betcha. All right, let's talk a bit about your committee. How many people are on your committee?
Oh, let me see. We have a real good committee this year. I'm blessed. That's one of the things about being a committee chair. You can't be an effective committee chair if you don't have a good committee to work with.
Boy, ain't that the truth.
And I'm blessed to have Frank Cuda from your home state of Washington.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Robert Rogers from Ohio, and Earlene Hughes from Indiana, and John Fleming from Oregon.
Oregon, yeah.
And let's see. You know, I don't have my committee roster in front of me.
And you know, when you start naming names, you're always going to leave somebody out.
Yeah, you sure do. But yeah. If I've forgotten anybody, I certainly didn't intend to. It's a great committee, and it's you have a lot of intelligent people and a lot of hardworking people, and people that aren't afraid to voice their opinions about things and that, because I certainly can't do it alone, and I need good people. And of course, I don't know what we do without the king of constitutional knowledge, and that's Charlie Hodge. I mean, he is so knowledgeable about the Constitution. It's really been a big help to me over the 3+ years that I've done this. It's very refreshing to have somebody like that.
Now, what is the role of your committee? What do you guys do?
Okay. Well, what we do is we take amendments to the Constitution and bylaws. We are in charge of processing amendments to that document, the most important document, I think, in ACB, because it's the whole foundation of what we do and how we do business. Basically, any member of the American Council of the Blind can submit an amendment to our committee. You have to submit it in writing by the end of the first full day of the convention. So this year would be the end of the day on July 4th. We don't count it's the day after the roll call session. So you have to submit your amendment to our committee by that time. It has to be in writing, and it has to have the current language of the place you want to amend, and any new language. Or if you're adding a new section to a bylaw, or you're adding a new part to an article or something like that, why, you just have to have the new language that you want to add. We take those amendments and we look at them, we discuss them, we wordsmith them according to what we you know, basically to make them more succinct, and also to make them fit into the current document a little bit better, and then we'll issue a recommendation, and anything that comes to our committee has to go to the floor. So We don't always recommend do pass. We don't always recommend do not pass. We sometimes bring things out with no recommendation. But everything that comes to the committee, as long as the maker doesn't withdraw it, it's gotta go to the floor. And by the way, my last committee member that I was forgetting is Don Thompson out of Hawaii.
Ah, okay.
I can't forget Don. And but anyways, we take the amendments, and what we try to do is make sure that they are to get them ready, camera ready, I guess you'd say. And then we bring them out to the floor, and it's my job as committee chair to be at the up on stage. I will read any amendment that comes out. I'm going to read it one time, and then it has to be read on one day, and then at least the next day. It can't be the same day, so the next day or maybe a couple days later, it has to be read again. And the second time the amendments are read is when people can discuss them, debate them, and take an up or down vote on them, or as we saw a few times last year, dispose of them in several other ways through parliamentary procedure and that sort of thing. The other thing that we do is we do our very level best. I'm a strong believer in that people should have the amendments. This document is so important. I'm a strong believer in that the people should have copies of the amendments in front of them to read if they so choose. And the press room and the communication center, I think it's what we're calling it now, has always been so supportive and so willing to work with us to get Braille and large print copies of the amendments out for people to read them so that they can read them, think about them, discuss them with members of their affiliates, whatever they'd like to do. I'm a strong believer in that, and we work very hard to make sure that we have material out there for people to read so they can follow along.
Yeah, I love that. I love, you know, I think it's different. Jeff and I talked about the resolutions, and how perhaps difficult that is to provide brailled copies. But, and I certainly think that the resolutions are important. But to me, when you are amending the Constitution, under which you live and breathe, it's really helpful to have the copy in front of you. So as a member, I appreciate that. Let me just say that we have opened the lines, and the telephone number to talk with Ray is 866-666-7926. And the lines are open, and when you call in, we'll put you right through. So how many times is each amendment read, Ray?
Each amendment is read two times on the convention floor. The first time we read it, it will not. There's no discussion or debate permitted at that time. It's basically a chance for people to hear the amendment, to begin to digest a little bit, to begin to put a framework in their mind of what the amendment's all about. And then the second time we read the amendment, it's discussed and debated and voted on or otherwise dealt with through the parliamentary procedure, which ACB follows, which is Robert's Rules of Order, newly revised. That second reading cannot occur on the same day as the first reading. It has to occur at least the next day. So if I read an amendment on Monday, I can't read it the second time on Monday. I have to do it on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever. But I have to wait at least one day to read it the second time. And that's good. I think that that's a real good way to do it. Especially sometimes amendments get real complicated, pretty lengthy, like we were talking about earlier, right?
Yeah.
I was talking with Dave a little earlier about that, and it is good. But that's how, you know, it's basically it's read twice, and it can't be on the same day, and that.
Can you determine when you will read each amendment for the second time?
Usually, as far as when I can I determine, I have some control over that. What I try to do is, what I've tried to do as chairman of the committee is that I want to make sure that things get out on their first reading. And I think I hear our phone ringing.
We do. Let's bring the caller into the room. Hello, caller. You are with Ray Campbell and Marlena. Who are we speaking with?
This is Joe Hartz. Hi, Ray and Marlena.
Hello,
Hi, Joe.
Joe.
As you know, I authored a several amendments last year, and I was a bit disillusioned in the process in that five of them never even had the second reading or debate before convention closed. I did work to get those out and had a great cooperation with Ray well before the convention, and did discuss with the chair, the ultimate chair of the convention, in one of his monthly telephone meetings, the fact that they would be out there and that we should allocate enough time to do that, to take care of that. And I was wondering if you had some comments on that, Ray, and what we could do about taking care of tabled items as well.
Sure. Joe, it's just to say a couple things about that. Number one, once I read an amendment to the floor, once it's out there on the floor, if someone does something that's perfectly acceptable under parliamentary procedure rules, which causes amendments not to get the second reading, which that's what was done last year, I as committee chair have no control over that. I may not like it. I certainly didn't like it. I think I think you or anybody who takes the time and works hard on amendments should get them read. But at the same time, a motion was made to adjourn the convention without reading your amendments. That motion was duly seconded and it was voted upon and approved by the convention. I think that I'd have to look into see if there's a way that we could consider those as unfinished business. But to my knowledge, and I'm going to check with our parliamentarian on how we might handle this, but to my knowledge, if you or anyone felt that there were things that should be, that didn't get debated last year that you want to see come back this year, The only way that I know how to do it in all my years around ACB is that you'd have to resubmit them.
Let me just jump in for 1 second to tell you both something that, a little bit of information that may help with all of this. I'm working on, we will have Don Stevens as our parliamentarian again this year.
Mm-hmm.
And
great.
I am working on bringing him onto the program, hopefully next week, maybe the week after. So watch the list and let's raise this question to Don as, you know, from the perspective of the parliamentarian.
Yeah. If people go back through the convention last year, there was one item that was split. It was on the Board of Publications on how that was staffed. The second part that was split was on taking and disseminating minutes of Board of Publication meetings, which I strongly believe should be a part of any democratic process. And that was tabled, and people look back at the ruling of the parliamentarian and go back through the convention tape, you cannot table as an attempt to kill. And actually, Robert's Rules of Order states if you want to indefinitely postpone an item, that must be a motion made and must be voted on with a majority vote. And it's different from tabling. Where I'm most concerned, though, are in the allocation of time for business, which is not your responsibility, right? And I don't have any beef with you. Again, you were very cooperative in working out these amendments and both by phone and by email, and I appreciate that. But there were fully five that never even got a second reading. Didn't get debated, didn't get voted on. And it's kind of like this debate in Congress, give these things an up or down vote if we're going to call ourselves a democratic institution. The other inquiry is I'd like you to elaborate on the difference between constitution and bylaw and the higher authority, so to speak, of a constitutional amendment, especially in our statement of purposes, that those guide our activities in our mission statement, throughout the year. And I'd like you to go into some distinctions on that. And I'm going to hang up and let other people call and get back and listen to you on air.
Okay, thanks for calling, Joe.
Thanks for the time.
Your call.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. And I think just to elaborate on the differences between Constitution and bylaws, I think is what he was asking. Is that what you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I gleaned from it.
Here's what the way that I see it, and others certainly that are more in depth at these kind of things certainly could feel free to call in and correct me if I'm misstating anything. But the constitutional amendments really, I think Joe hit it very well, especially when you look at our statement of purpose, who can and cannot be a member. Those things are in our mission and how ACB is set forth and set up as an organization. I think of the bylaws really as the instruction manual, I guess, if you will, as to how those things are going to get implemented, how we're going to implement, how we're going to carry out the mission of ACB. But I look at the Constitution more as setting up the mission of the organization, who can and cannot be a member, the way that the organization does things. And the way the organization carries out its responsibilities as a framework, and then as I say, I look at the bylaws kind of as the instructions for how we're going to carry out that framework. Another way to look at it is the articles of the Constitution are kind of the frame of the building. The bylaws are kind of the interior of the building is the way you could look at it. It's another way to look at it. So. I don't know if that really answered your question, Joe. It was something I thought somebody might ask tonight, and I was been thinking about it all day as to how I might answer it. So I hope that explains a little about the differences between the constitutional articles versus the actual bylaws.
Yeah, that's kind of always the way I pictured Constitution and bylaws, that the Constitution is the foundation of the house and the bylaws are kind of, the rules
Marlena,
of the house.
If I could for a minute, let me just talk about one thing because I think it's important for people to understand that as a committee chair and I think as members of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, it's really important I think it's really essential that we put any personal feelings that we have about things that come to us completely aside. And I work very hard to do that. Joe submitted a lot of amendments last year, but I worked very hard to make sure that his amendments got the same we're given the same courtesy and the same opportunity to come forth as anybody else's. As I said, what happens once it's gotten that first reading and it's out on the floor for the convention to work with, I don't have a whole lot of control over that. But I think it's really one of the things I pride myself on, and I think our committee prides itself on, is making sure that no matter what we may personally think of something, we're going to give it a fair hearing. We're going to listen to it. We're going to look it over. We're going to work with it, and we're going to get it out there on the floor and let the convention decide, because ultimately that's the supreme authority of this organization, is the convention.
And that's, in fact, what happened last year, is that there was a motion, as you pointed out, a motion to adjourn, and the majority of people voting voted to do so. And it does, you know, sometimes democracy is...
democracy is the messiest form of government we have.
It's painful. It's painful, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Right.
You know, I definitely wouldn't have it any other way. 866-666-7926. My guest this week is Ray Campbell, the chair of the ACB Constitution and Bylaws Committee. If you are listening to this program at any time other than 9 Eastern and 6 Pacific in North America, or 1 Universal, you are listening to a replay, so just enjoy the program. So, all right, let's go back to how people can participate. You mentioned earlier that constitutional amendments and bylaw amendments must be in writing. I presume that any form is fine, email or disk, or how does that work?
Well, what I've told people is that they can submit them in any format that they want to. I certainly prefer them in email or in Braille, certainly, because I, as chair, am going to get the first crack at them to disseminate them out to share them with the committee. But if someone wants to put them on a cassette tape or if they want to give them in print, it says, the Constitution says that they have to be submitted in writing. Emails considered in writing, Braille and large print are considered in writing. And I think around the blindness community, cassette tape, as always, has been considered to be a submission in writing. So really any way that anybody wants to submit an amendment, if they have one, if they have something that they feel strongly about, they should do that. And by the way, let me say where people can get a copy of the Constitution and bylaws, take a look at the current version if they would like to do so and decide if they want to amend it. You go to the ACB website, which is www.acb.org. You click on, once you get there, you click on the link that says Helpful Resources or hit Enter on it. Then you go down to ACB Constitution or ACB Documents, I think it is, and then you click on that link or hit Enter on it, and then you go to ACB Constitution, Resolutions, and other documents, to hit Enter on that link. And there's a few links you have to go down through to get it, but you can get down to the, eventually we'll come to the Constitution and Bylaws, and the latest version is up there. And I'll be glad to repeat those instructions a little bit later in the program for anybody that would want to get those down. But you can submit amendments really in any way that you can't just come up to me and tell me that I want to amend such an article. It does need to in some way convey the current language and the new language, or in other words, the language the way you want to see it amended. And what we do as a committee is we read out each amendment, and we also tell people who submits it. And that's not to single anybody out. It's just that the convention's got a right to know who submitted it, just like they have a right to know who writes resolutions and stuff. So the other thing I should tell people about amendments is that I've always been under the belief, and I think others in ACB have too, that Constitution and Bylaws amendments do not take effect until after the close of the convention. That's actually not true. Amendments take effect right away upon adoption.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's something that actually was pointed out by our parliamentarian last year, Mr. Stevens. And by the way, I'm going to be listening if you can get him on, because I think he's just a wealth of information about Robert's Rules. But unless an amendment specifically says that it's to take effect after convention, it takes effect right away. And so if someone were to, for example, put an amendment forward that says that the convention is only supposed to be 5 days long, and they don't say that it takes effect for the next convention, we have to shorten our convention to 5 days.
Oh my gosh!
I bring it kind of a crazy example like that up because I think that as I said earlier, the convention, you really need to really think about the Constitution and bylaws and if you really want to amend them. Sometimes it's not a document that should ever be amended based on 1 year's experience or a couple of years' experience. And I'm not saying anything that's ever been brought up has. I'm just saying that if you see a constant pattern or a constant you think that you go see over and over again over a period of time that you think something needs to be changed or in the way that we're doing things, then I think it would be time to submit a Constitution and Bylaws amendment. But it's something you really, really should spend a lot of time thinking about and talking with folks about.
Now, here's a question. Mm-hmm. If I want us to do something and it doesn't appear to be addressed in the Constitution, and it doesn't appear to be addressed in the bylaws, how do I know which I want to submit to you a constitutional amendment or a bylaw? Or do I need to worry about that?
Well, let's see. You need to worry about it in the sense that that's a great question.
Because I've never obviously done a constitutional amendment, but I've often wondered if I ever did, how would I know which one I wanted if it wasn't already there?
The way that what I would say to you is to there are a lot of good veteran ACB people around, and I would say that you think about what it is you want to do, and then you start talking to people and saying, hey, look, or emailing folks, say, hey, this is what I want to do. What do some of you think we ought to do? Should we have an article in the Constitution or add a new section to an article in the Constitution about this, or should we have should we do it as a bylaw? The way ACB's Constitution and bylaws is currently structured, it's one that if you think about what you're doing, usually you can figure it out. Let me give you a couple cases in point in the last few years, some things that we've done. Last year, we had a bylaw amendment that created a technology resource committee. The people that wanted to do that would have looked at the bylaws. I believe it's bylaw number 6 deals with committees and the creation of committees. So you would know that that particular committee is not currently addressed. It was not currently addressed in there up until last year, but there was felt that there was a need to create that committee and also the employment committee. And the folks involved researched the Constitution, found out that bylaw 6 deals with committees, and put that in. A few years back, we added some procedures for removing an officer, which if we ever had to do that. And the folks that were involved in doing that went into the section under officers, and it was in the Constitution. Basically, I would say that if you look at what you're doing, you look at a general idea of what it is you want to do, and the first thing would be to look in the Constitution and bylaws and see where it's addressed, where it appears that general area would be addressed, and then amend accordingly in that area. If there's something new that you want to do, which was really your question, and I don't want to sound like I'm dancing around it or anything, it's I would talk to some folks and just kind of get a feel for what people think. If you really think that it's something that you really feel very strongly about and that you want a good strong sense of the convention and that it's something that's really going to affect ACB's future, that you want it addressed per a good piece of ACB's future, that it's really something you always want to be you want ACB to do or you want ACB to have in the future, then you'd probably put it in the Constitution, because if you put an amendment in the Constitution, it has to be voted in by a two-thirds majority. If someone wants to take it out, it has to be removed by a two-thirds majority. A bylaw is only – bylaws get voted up or down by simple majority. So if you added a piece to a bylaw and that got voted in by a simple majority, and then it was discovered later by someone else that, oh, we really don't need this anymore, a simple majority could vote to delete that piece.
Are bylaws considered less weighty then?
Yeah, it's a good way to put it, Marlene. I think that a bylaw is considered less weighty. I don't think they're less important, because they really do deal with fundamental things like how we calculate membership dues and how we deal with committees and that sort of thing. But I think that, again, I think it comes back to I don't want to say lower on the hierarchical, maybe down a level on the hierarchical structure is what I want to say, that the top, the most important thing are your Constitution articles, and then the bylaws, as I said earlier, really kind of tell you how to implement things in those Constitution and bylaws articles. To take a case in point, the Employment Committee that was created last year, one of the things that's in ACB's purpose is to promote the independence and well-being and that sort of thing of people who are blind or visually impaired. Well, certainly one way to do that is to promote employment. So part of implementing that piece of ACB's purpose was to create an employment committee to work on employment issues affecting people who are blind or visually impaired. So I think they're all part of the whole big structure, but the bylaw, the Constitution is kind of on the top of the hierarchy, and the bylaws are kind of one level down, I would say.
Well, and again, using the same analogy that you used in the beginning, you know, when you're building your foundation for your house, you really want to make sure you do it right, because boy, is it tough to change the foundation, but it's only painful to remodel the inside. It's not quite as tough to change as
that's
it is
a good way to put it.
Well,
I like the way you put things. That's a good way to put it.
I'm actually remodeling my house right now, so I can talk.
We went through that a few years ago. Exactly what you mean.
Yeah, it's fun. All right.
And you know, a good analogy to use with that, too, would be if you're remodeling, which may mean messing around with the bylaws, you got to be a little careful. In the case of remodeling, you want to be careful around weight-bearing walls.
That's right. That's very good.
Sure, if you're touching a sensitive area in the bylaws, that you're not going to cause a constitutional crisis.
Yeah. And sometimes it really does sort of take, I think, not only on the part of the committee, be it in this case the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, and a couple of weeks ago we were with Jeff Tom and talking about the Resolutions Committee, but I think not only on the part of the respective committee, but also on the part of we, the member who is submitting something, it takes having some global vision.
Sure.
And, you know, am I submitting this because I really think that in 10 years, this should be the framework, or am I submitting this? And again, I'm not suggesting that anyone has done this, but I think it's a good checkpoint question. You know, am I submitting this because I'm upset about this particular thing or that, or am I submitting this because truly I might be upset about this particular thing or that, but I think this is the way the organization should be directed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's a good way to put it. You mentioned about Jeff a couple weeks ago, and I think, you know, resolutions kind of are the immediate direction the organization is going to take in terms of policies. When you're amending the Constitution and bylaws, it's going to set the organizational direction in a given area that you're amending for years to come. So, again, a checkpoint question is a good thing to call that, I think.
How often does your committee meet during convention?
Yes, we do. We meet during convention. I'll be glad to give our schedule for this year. We're going to be meeting on Saturday, July 2nd, and I have our room, too. It's this may not make a lot of sense to people until you get to the Riviera, but it's Skybox 202.
Whoa.
Is our room number, Skybox 202. That will probably make more sense to you once you get a look at the hotel description and or the hotel when you're out there in Vegas. But we're going to be meeting on Saturday, July 2nd from 2 to 4 p.m., we'll meet Monday, July 4th from 5 to 7 p.m., Tuesday, July 5th from 5 to 8 p.m., and Wednesday, July 6th from 5 to 8 p.m. And I'll be glad to repeat that information a little bit later on, too. We have to be done with our work by Wednesday night, July 6th, and the reason is because of the two readings that we have to do. Theoretically, anyway, convention business is going to be done on Friday. So if we had amendments to work on July 6th, we could not do first readings on those till the next day and then we have to do the second readings on the day following, so Thursday and Friday. So we're done as of Wednesday night, July 6th. No, we don't keep the late hours. The Resolutions does.
That's
our schedule. And like I said, I'll be glad to repeat that a little bit later on.
Now, when might we expect the first readings to occur?
It's our goal, and it has been over the past few years, to we're going to start reading the First Amendment's Monday morning, and it may not be amendments, in the order that we may not necessarily read them in the order they were submitted. It just depends on what kinds of things we get. You know, if we get something that needs to be read, given two readings and adopted, dealing with this current convention, for example, if we were to get something like that, then we'd probably want to take that early in the week, even if it's the Fifth or Sixth Amendment that we get. What I do is, as chair, I handle this part of it, and what I try to do is I take the amendments in the order that I get them, and I number them in the order that I get them. So I'll try to do the first readings, as it were, Monday morning of convention. We usually don't do anything at the Sunday night session because that's kind of a full session, the full schedule as it is. But Monday morning, July 4th, we'll be doing first readings. I'm quite sure of it.
And will you read all of the amendments at first reading, or will you just read a number of them?
What I will probably do is when I do the first reading, I will I'll take as many as President Gray says that we have time for on Monday. On Tuesday, I might do some more first readings. I might do some second readings on some things that I read on Monday. It again depends on what we have. And if there's what I usually do, you asked earlier about control. What I usually do, President Gray has been real good to work with as far as getting things onto the floor that need to get there. He's very receptive and understanding when I bring to his attention that, hey, we've got something that's kind of important that needs to come to the floor like early in the week. And so I've been able to really I've had a good relationship with him and been able to help him understand when important things need to come up onto the floor. And by the same token, you know, if he hears something in a first reading that he feels is going to be rather controversial, there are going to be times he's going to ask me not to bring it up on second reading at a time when we really do not have a lot of time for debate, such as right before the speakers on a convention morning, so that we can get through our business. But so that's kind of important. But I won't do all the first readings on Monday. Like I said, I'll do first readings on what we have done and ready to go out to print, and I try to do. And what we also try to do is make sure that when we do second readings, but our goal is to try to do it for first readings, that we have the Braille and large print copies out there for people to have put their hands on and that sort of thing. But I'll read some amendments Monday morning. Like I said, the rest of the week I may do first readings. My goal is to get the first readings out as early in the week as we can.
Sure.
Then things that we need to do, why we can start doing second readings and debating them and discussing them and voting on them.
And once again, there is no discussion on the first reading.
No.
Right. Now, on the second reading, let's say we're now up to the second reading, and I hear something and I think, oh, I really like this idea, but I'd like to do it this way. Can I offer a friendly amendment to a constitutional amendment?
Yes, you can. You can offer an amendment to the Constitution. Now, I'm not real clear on this. I'd have to talk with our parliamentarian. It's always been the custom of the ACB committees that I, and resolutions of the Constitution in particular that I've been around, that we do take friendly amendments. I'm not, the parliamentarian, Don Stevens was saying last year that there really is no such thing as a friendly amendment. I think that's what he said. You'd have to ask him about friendly versus unfriendly amendments. Typically what happens is that, if an amendment comes up, what I've done in the past is I always would say, well, the chair views that as friendly and, we'll go ahead and make that, amendment. But if the chair views it as unfriendly because it would fundamentally change the amendment or something like that, then a motion has to go to the floor. And then once there's a motion and second on your amendment, for example, then we're debating the amendment and not the main the main thing.
Right.
And then we take care of the amendment, and then we come back to the main constitutional amendment, and we'll either be debating it as it was submitted or as it was amended if the convention chooses to amend it.
Yeah, it sometimes is a circuitous route to a vote, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, it is. it can get very interesting, but again, that's the great thing about ACB as an organization is that we do have the opportunity to debate things and amend things for lack of a better way to put it, amend things to death and stuff like that. But it's just what makes this organization the great organization that it is, that we do offer a lot of opportunities for members to participate. I can remember 2 years ago out in Pittsburgh, that was really quite a quite an interesting afternoon for me. I learned a few things about myself during that one, I think.
Yes, I had great admiration for you.
Well, I'm glad you did, because I was during the last part of that, it was getting kind of tough to sit up there. So
yeah.
But I really I appreciate that, and many people have said that I handled that that very well. But again, that was a situation that. Someone put forth an amendment, and people wanted to debate it and discuss it, and it was quite a. It took us a while, but it finally came to a resolution, maybe the resolution it came to wasn't everybody's liking, but the bottom line is we brought it to a resolution and we moved on from there. But it was quite an afternoon. I can remember that.
Well, it'll be very interesting if we can get our parliamentarian on. And I really am going to try for next week. So if folks are interested in sort of getting some of these questions cleared up, keep watching the announce list. And I'll try to get the announcement out earlier than I have been in the last couple of weeks. But sometimes the real job that I get paid for gets in the way of the job that I love. So
yeah, I hate when that happens. Sometimes.
I know. It's so tough when that happens. Are there any controversial amendments coming to the floor this year about which you can share?
You know, Marlene, I'm not sure how to answer that question, because sometimes you don't know what's going to be controversial or not. Now, I've only gotten three amendments so far this year. One amendment that's come forward is looking at how we identify the leaders of our committees. Another one, I'm being kind of vague about what they talk about, because I want to share it with the committee first. One has to do with former employees serving as officers and on the board. And the third one has to do with changing some, fine-tuning some of the language with regard to procedure. But again, I don't want to go a lot into it right now. I want to hear it, the actual text with the committee, and begin to do it that way. And one of the things that Last year we had a lot of amendments, and one of the things that I'm going to try and do this year, if the committee will, and I'm going to ask them about this, if they'll consent to it again, is I'd like to put out a summary like we did for Future Place last year, which basically talked about what amendments we had and just gave a one or two sentence description of what they were going to be talking about. We did that early in the week and heard a couple of comments that was actually quite helpful to give people at least a small sense of what they were going to be hearing about, and then they could at least start to prepare themselves. And then once they had the actual amendments in hand, they could start reading them and formulating their positions on them.
How do people submit their amendments? What is your contact information?
Okay. Well, if people would like to submit amendments to the Constitution and bylaws, they can. Again, they can put them in writing with the current language as it reads currently and then the amended language, in other words, the language they would like to see after it's amended. You can submit them. The easiest way is to submit them via email to me, and my email address is ray1530@comcast.net. Again, that's ray1530@comcast.net. If you do not have email access or that, you can submit them in Braille or large print or on tape, any format, diskette, whatever. You can submit your amendments to the ACB National Office at 1155 15th Street Northwest, Suite 1004, Washington, 20005. And you can do it that way. And the other thing is bring them to convention. You can bring them to convention. You have until 5 o'clock on July 4th to submit amendments. I will certainly be around convention. I will make sure to put a announcement into the try to put an announcement in the Saturday edition of the convention paper, letting people know what my room number is, if they have anything that they would like to bring to me. So there's a number of ways that you can submit amendments, and again, I encourage people if they feel strongly that there is something that that needs to be changed, that they should take a look at the Constitution and bylaws and make the appropriate amendments. And I would say that if you don't feel that you want to amend the Constitution and bylaws, well, by all means, please come to our meetings. Let me run over our schedule one more time.
Yes, and also give the website where I can get the Constitution.
Well, first of all, to get a copy of the Constitution and bylaws, you can get it from the ACB website. It's at www.acb.org. And don't quote me as gospel on these instructions, but once you get to the website, click on the helpful resources link and then click on the I believe it's ACB documents link, and then click on the link that says ACB Constitution, Resolutions, and Other Documents. And then there's about three clicks there, and then you'll get to the Constitution and Bylaws, and you can look at it that way. What I'll do is, and I should have done this for your program tonight, Marlene, and I apologize I didn't, but what I'll do is I'll put out a I'll put out something on the ACB leadership and the listserv to make sure that people have the exact instructions as to how to do that if they want to get a copy of the Constitution and bylaws.
Great.
It's one of those things that I got to be in front of my computer doing it.
Yeah.
And my wife's in front of the computer listening to this.
Well, there you go.
So you know, the other thing. Let me run over our schedule real quick. We're going to be meeting in Skybox 202 at the Riviera in Las Vegas, and that's going to be we're going to be meeting there on Saturday, July 2nd, from 2 to 4 p.m. Monday, July 4th, from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, July 5th, from 5 to 8 p.m. and Wednesday, July 6th, from 5 to 8 p.m. So those are the dates that we'll be meeting, and I certainly encourage anybody to come. And even if you're not on the committee, we take input from anybody that comes to the meeting. You're free to speak in the meeting and offer your suggestions and your views on things. Any suggestions on language changes? Heck, the more ideas that we get, the better amendments we're going to get, and the more that people are actually going to have a chance to participate and feel like they participated, and that's what's most important of all.
You know, Ray, before I let you go, and I know I'd only keep you, I said I'd only keep you an hour, and we're coming up on that, but before I let you go, I've appreciated all of this participatory information. It's been great, but I want to kind of step back a little bit and ask you, Ray, the chair, the guy that has to manipulate all these documents. How do you do that? I mean, you're up there reading Braille, lickety-split. What do you do up there? What devices do you use?
All I've got to say, Marlena, is thank God for Braille Notes.
Oh, Ray, I love you.
I knew you would, too, because...
And I didn't know he was going to say that, folks.
No, she didn't. I was telling Dave Williams earlier, how did people do this in the old days? And we didn't have all this technology.
Oh, God, like yeah.
It had to have been just an absolute struggle. But, I use a Braille Note to do the business. And what's really nice about that is I can go across the Braille display and be reading the document. And if somebody says, well, I want an amendment here, I want you to strike such and such a word, I go to it, hit... D core W, it's gone. it's just real, real good. And I think, and I'm glad you asked that question, because if there's somebody that has aspirations of being Constitution and bylaws, I mean, I'm not going to do this forever.
You're not.
No.
What's the matter with you?
I've seen other committee chairs in the past that used laptops with reading off of a screen and various things. So. There's a number of ways to do it. It just takes a lot of practice. It takes some practice. I remember when I first got my Braille Note, I did the Illinois Council of the Blind Resolutions Committee. I was chairing it that year, and it took a little bit of practice, and we stumbled a little bit, but got used to doing it and working the thumb keys. I work the thumb keys and with my right hand, and I read my left hand.
See
and I'm
that? Yeah.
The mic.
Yeah.
That's why I fall off the mic case.
Well, before you go, let me give you a shortcut. Instead of D chord W, go to the word and hit backspace 3-5, and it'll delete the word.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, is there anything you'd like to say that I haven't asked you here before we slip off?
Well, I first of all look forward to seeing you and everybody else in Las Vegas. I think it's going to be a great convention. I'm looking forward to it, as always. I look forward to conventions. They're just one of my favorite times of the year. And I would just say again to everybody out there, I know there's going to be a lot of opportunities to socialize and to mingle, but especially if you're new to ACB and if you're new to convention, I really want to encourage you to stop by some of the stop by our committee meeting. You know when we're going to be meeting. We'll be in the program as well. Stop by, see how we do business, and see how we work to amend, if necessary, and maintain and improve the basic foundation of ACB, which is our Constitution and bylaws.
And speaking of amendments, let me amend my tip to you. It's backspace 2-5.
Okay.
Not 3-5. I said as soon as I said it,
well,
I'm like,
see,
whoop.
The current language of that.
That current. That's
3-5.
Right. That's right.
Proposed wording is backspace 2-5. I got you.
That's right. And would you strike 3-5 and put in 2-5?
Gotcha. It's done.
Ray, thank you so very much, and please thank Miss Karen for sharing you with us for an hour.
Oh, no problem. Well, thank you for having me, Marlene. It's a pleasure. And if there's there's ever anything that you think that I could lend some expertise of on your show ever in the future, please feel free to call on me. I'd be happy to do it. And right now, I got to go listen and see what this surprise. prize is coming up in the second hour.
Oh, thank you. I almost forgot to advertise it. And listen, if you want some time on the radio during convention week, you see me or Dave, and we'll be delighted to make sure that that you get on there.
Sounds good. And we'll say hi to Gary for me. And I was glad to support you guys in that resolution from last summer.
Yeah, when I was describing this show to Gary tonight, because Gary, you know, last year was his first convention, and so he doesn't know everyone's name yet. And I said Ray Campbell was going to be on, and he said, oh, I said, you know Ray Campbell. He's the guy that stood up and said ACB needs to put its money where its mouth is when it comes to access. So so he was, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We definitely appreciated that.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing you out in Las Vegas, and we'll be out there in about 2.5 weeks, I guess.
All right. Well, you take care, Ray.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
I roamed and I rambled, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. While all around me a voice was sounding, saying this land was made for you and me.
That was kind of an appropriate song after spending time with Ray and talking about the openness and democratic nature of the American Council of the Blind. I'm Marlena. You're with me in the second hour now, and so if you're listening at any time other than Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, or Monday morning at 2 Universal, you've got a repeat, and please feel free to put your feet up and enjoy. We're going to go to a pre-recorded bit right now that we're going to announce. You know, ACB is not always about work, 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 and amend constitutions and write resolutions and argue it out on the floor. Yeah, we do a lot of that, and that is good stuff. But ACB is also about loving and respecting and appreciating the fellowship of recreation and the importance And the knowledge that, you know what, if we play well together, we will probably work well together. So just sit back and have a listen, because ACB is about to do something spectacular.
Hi, everybody. This is Rachel Bader. I'm promotions coordinator for ACB Radio Interactive, and I want to tell you about something really cool that is happening leading up to our convention in Las Vegas. Now, you know, Las Vegas is the place where you can gamble, and it's all about fun. Well, we're going to give you a little bit of fun to have before you go to Vegas, and that is in the way of two pre-convention tournaments in partnership with All in Play, and one is for Crazy Eights, and you poker fans aren't left out either, because we have a poker tournament as well. And the Crazy Eights tournament is going to start next Friday, which is going to be June 17th. That's going to be at 4 Eastern and 20 Universal. This tournament's going to go for 24 hours. So 24 crazy hours of Crazy Eights. And at the end, the high score will win a prize. How cool is that? The following weekend, we're going to have another 24-hour tournament, which is going to be poker. And there again, the times for that are going to be 4 p.m. Eastern, again, 20 Universal. Another 24-hour tournament, and the high score at the end of that tournament is going to also win some cool prizes to be announced. We really appreciate the opportunity to work with All in Play. And we're having a great time with this, and we hope that you will too. These pre-convention tournaments are also going to get you ready for some cool tournaments at the convention itself. So what you want to do, you want to go practice up those gambling skills, get ready to win before you ever get to Vegas, and then hopefully you can also win in Vegas. So stay close to the ACB Radio list, the Friends and Announce list, also to ACB Radio for further details. And we'll let you know what's going on. We're also going to be giving you some updates as the tournaments go on. So you'll get to find out if you are in the top running or if one of your friends is. And so it should be really, really cool. So stay close for details. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to hear a little bit more advice from the gambler himself.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness. The boredom overtook us, and he began to speak. He said, "Son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces, knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done."
We are in the speakeasy chat room at www.ourplace.acbradio.org to talk with a couple of folks from allinplay.com, www.allinplay.com, just as it sounds, allinplay.com, which is a fabulous place to go on the web to play some accessible poker and some crazy eights and meet some great folks. During the weekend of June 18th and then the following weekend of June 25th, ACB will be sponsoring two tournaments. The first will be a crazy eights tournament. And the second, on the weekend of June 25th, will be the second annual ACB Pre-Convention Open Poker Tournament. And so we thought it would be kind of cool to meet up with a couple of the high roller, top-notch type players from All in Play, and ask them to share some tips and tricks with you about how they do what they do. With me in the room right now is Hassler from Scotland, all the way from Scotland, and we actually recorded this interview yesterday, and for technical reasons, we've had to do this again. So, Hassler, again, welcome to ACB Radio, and a very special thanks for coming back. Could you talk to us a little bit about how long you've been playing at All in Play, and how you sort of got started there?
Hi, Marlena. Yeah, I've been around All in Play now since the beginning, when it first kicked off at with Z Form Poker. I can't remember how I got into it or where I heard it from. I think it was through an email list, maybe through gamesfortheblind.com at some time. But yeah, I've been around, it must be about 3.5 years now, if not more.
And I also want to welcome CB, who has joined us, and thank her again for coming back a second time. And I wonder if you could tell us how long you've been with All in Play, and a little bit about perhaps what you do there. I know you're a greeter, and so why don't you tell us a little bit about all that, and welcome again.
Well, thanks. I've been with All in Play, it's getting close to 2 years now. Wow. Time goes very quickly. And, I am a greeter. I've been a greeter now for, gosh, almost close to that time. I began being a greeter when Paul started the initial experiment. It was just more or less to see if there, I guess, would be community interest in doing something like that, and also to help him out, because his plate gets full with a lot of things, and as an end result, there have been a lot of changes and things that have gone on with the team, and right now I'm the greeter leader, and I work with a great group of people, and we love to help people. We love to work with new people. If people have particular issues learning the games, or maybe they have some technical issues when they come to the site, if they're not, you know, like one of the problems that we ran into is when people started using JAWS 6.0, recompiling the scripts, and I don't know how many times I actually had to go look up the information because somebody was telling me that they had this or that problem, and I was like, uh-oh, I know what the problem is. They need to recompile their scripts. So, you know, we just pretty much do a wide variety of things, and I love what I do.
That sounds great. I'm going to, first of all, apologize to you and the listeners. If you guys hear background noise here, we're having our house remodeled. And I think some of the people have chosen. You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast on tonight's Marlena.
That's okay.
To give you some tips and tricks for how to succeed in the next ACB pre-convention open
extravaganza.
And I believe that's going to be the weekend of June 18th. Now, I know, CB, you have a particular fondness for the Crazy Eights. So could you talk a little bit about the game and maybe share a tip about some strategy for Crazy Eights? And then we'll move on to Robin and chat about eights, if you do eights, Robin, or poker. So let's start with CB.
You got to know.
Okay, well, I can talk about either game also, but I do love eights. I'm more an eights person. Poker has grown on me, and I like it to an extent, but I like to have fun with it, and I kind of, I really don't take it. I know that there are a lot of people out there with poker that take it seriously, really just, get into the betting and everything. So for me, I don't know, I'd rather in a lot of ways play a nice, relaxing game of eights, or sometimes a very fast game of eights. I know when the WoW tables came out, which are very, they're very quick tables, and I know when they came out, I said, I'll never go up on one of those tables, but the last tournament, I would say I spent like 90% of my time on those WoW tables. But anyway, as far as Crazy Eights, there is some strategy, although the game is a little more relaxed, and because you know, you're not worrying about betting, but for those of you who may not be familiar or may not realize how the game is played, the object is to try to give up the fewest amount of points and to reach your goal by not giving up as many points. So your object is to get rid of your cards. So if you've got higher point value cards in your hand, you want to try to get rid of them first. So normally, now it depends on what type of game I'm trying to play. If I'm just going in there to have fun, I'll just be goofy and do whatever. Most of the time, though, I'm going in to at least try to win. So I would get rid of my higher value cards, which would be like my wild eights, which are 50 points. So I would probably try to play them first. I think that's the biggest... that's one of the biggest things. The second part of strategy in playing Crazy Eights is there can be up to 8 people to a table. If you're at a table, the more people at a table, the less likely your odds are of winning. At least that's my opinion. I've noticed that. And so I normally try to be at a table where there's like 3 or 4. If it starts getting to be 6 or up to 6 or 8, 5, 6, 7, 8. I will sometimes, it just depends on the mood I'm in. If I feel like staying, if it's a social table and I feel like talking, I'll stay there. But if it's a fast table, I'll be like, you know what, I'm going to another table. The other thing, too, is you want to be careful going into the way that they have the game set up at All in Play. You want to be careful going into a table. If the games are, you know, if there's like 4 or 5 people there, there's a good chance that you might go into a table, get dealt in with like 10 cards, which happened to me the other day, and somebody goes out and you're stuck with those 10 cards and all the point values in those 10 cards. So that's, you know, basic strategy for me.
Well, I do know you're right about going into one of those tables that's already in progress. Oh, I've had more fist slamming incidents when that has happened to me. Hassler, talk to me a bit about poker. Yesterday, you gave a beautiful thumbnail description of the game, of the hands that you could receive in order of their sort of importance or value. And I wonder if you could start by doing that and then give us a bit of strategy.
Okay. Firstly, just to say that I'm definitely more of a poker than a Crazy Eights person, but I am privileged to be one of the alpha testing teams. I do remember the Crazy Eights, the first alpha games coming out, and there was no reverse cards, there was no twos, there was no skip cards, and oh boy, that was hard work until they got some of the features in. But I think Crazy Eights is more of a social game. CB's right, poker, there's a lot more people who take it serious, there's a lot more stress involved, and you know, there's some good guys and there's some bad guys and there's some good losers and bad losers, so it's a real good mix. For the poker, the value of your hands, if you would start off the first decent hand, if you like, would be a pair. So the best pair, of course, would be two aces. Now, next in line, the next best hand you can get is two pairs. Aces and kings would be your best possible two pairs. And I think I mentioned yesterday that I felt that was a really risky hand to gamble on, because it's second bottom of the value pile. So on from two pair, your next best option would be three of a kind. Three twos, three threes, three tens, but the best, of course, would be three aces. Your next stage up the ladder would be a straight. That's five cards in a row of any suit at all, like three of diamonds, four of clubs, five of clubs, six of spades, seven of hearts, etc. And of course, your highest straight would be ace, king, queen, jack, ten. Following on from that, the next tier up would be a flush, which is any five cards all of the same suit, like ace, six, five, three, two, all of clubs or diamonds. That's a flush. And of course it goes by the highest card in that flush, so an ace high flush is your best possible. Moving on, your next best is a full house, which is three of one card and two of another, like three aces and two kings is your best possible full house. Then you really are going to the big stuff, which is four of a kind. That's all four threes, four fives, four tens, four aces again would be your highest four cards. And the best possible hand is a straight flush, which is five cards in sequence, all of the same suit, like four, five, six, seven, eight of diamonds. And the best possible of the whole game is a royal flush, which is ace, king, queen, jack, ten, all of the same suit. So there's your values.
That was one of the most valuable things for me because, you know, I don't play every day. And when I do sit down and play, I have to stop and think, oh, gosh, what are the values and in which order are they valuable? Let me ask you about a couple of your strategies for poker from Hassler, and then we'll turn to CB. And we do have someone who has just joined us in the room. We will ask that you be in listen-only mode since we are recording an interview right now for ACB Radio, who sponsors our place and this room. And we're recording an interview that will be aired very soon on ACB Radio. So we will ask that you be in listen-only mode. And you are listening to that live interview right now on The Marlena Show. Let's get back to it and get those good strategy tips. And heck, you might learn something about how to play poker. So, Hassler, come on back and throw a couple of strategies at us.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up.
Okay, well, for the new one starting off, I wouldn't go anywhere near the 500 tables or above until you've got something like at least 10,000 chips. Stick at the low tables and work your way up. I mean, that's the whole reason for the ladder structure of the games page, the tables page. You start at the low tables and build up your chips, build up your confidence. Get to know some of the players. Get to know the ones that are just play for fun. Get to know the serious ones. And get to know the ones that bluff all the time. And just be careful and you can catch them out. As I said before, there's some real sharks out there. Some of the guys with a huge stack of chips will just bet heavy and heavy and blow you off the table, just scare you away. But, you know, half the time they don't have as big a sand as the value of the chips they're hitting at you. So try not to be intimidated, but it is very difficult, especially when you've only got a little pile of chips there.
And yesterday you shared with us something about when to call. Why don't you talk about that and tell us what calling means?
Well, calling means you're gambling your hand against the guy that's maybe raised chips with his. You know, if someone discards three cards and raises at you, you know, you might think, well, has he got the third one? Has he got two pairs? So, you know, don't call with just a pair yourself unless you know the guy and you know he's a bit risky or he bluffs a lot. You know, normally if someone raises after a discard, they've picked something up. They've improved their hand. So be very careful. And it's my own pet tip is very, very careful in calling with two pair because it's not that good a hand.
And CB, how about you? Do you have some tips? You perhaps are newer to the poker table than is Hassler. And maybe you could give some of the new folks encouragement to play in the tourney? And does a person have to be really skilled to play in the tourney?
Well, first of all, I'm not that skilled. I can hold my own. Now, I've had good and bad experiences with poker, but I'll stick to the good experiences I've had, but I've learned from the bad experiences I've had. The only thing I will say about the one bad experience I had is I won't do it again, and that is I got the brilliant idea. I was winning a lot one night, and I got this brilliant idea. I had was playing with a couple friends, and they're like, oh, yeah, come on, go to a higher table. And I went to a higher table, and I lost chips, and I had to go visit the bots to get more chips. So I learned my lesson with that. I stick with the lower tables. Once in a while, for the most part, you will find people on the lower tables who really don't have a lot of, I mean, they don't have a high amount of chips, I should say. A high amount of chips. I will check chip counts when I see somebody come into the table, especially if it's somebody I know who is that comes from a higher table that, you know, spends 90% of their time on a higher table. I will always check their chip counts and see. And there are some people I won't play with because, you know, I've seen the way they play. And so it's just knowing how people play and what they do. I would recommend, now see, I play a little more conservatively though. I would recommend if people have a situation where there's a person that comes into the table and they're maxing. If they're maxing all the time, it depends on what you have in your hand, but I usually will not call unless I have something higher than a pair of jacks, but still, that's, I mean, you know, hearing the hand rankings, that's still low. But I would sometimes do that. Now, that's before the discard nulls. After the discard and someone's raising the max chips, then I usually will fold. So I'm very leery of calling when people max. I'm also watching to see how many chips they raise. Depending, if they raise five, and let's say I have a pair of aces, and it's before the discard, I would call that, because if it's a five-chip table, they're not, you know, but if they raise, I don't know, like 10, then I think, oh, you know, they might have something, they may have something good. So you don't really have to be, you know, super skilled. I think the tourneys, the way they're run, it's usually something for everyone, so people shouldn't be intimidated. I know when I first started playing, I didn't have a clue. What I did is I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get myself a nice little cheat sheet, and I'm going to sit there. And it took me time to look up the hand rankings and everything, but there's a nice handy key that new people would want to know, they want to be aware of, and that is doing the shift of the tilde, which the tilde is right below the escape key on U.S. keyboards. If you do the shift of the tilde, it's going to give you your hand name. And if you have a nice little cheat sheet like I did, you can sit there and you can look up the rank and you can say, oh, this is not a good hand. Okay, because you're talking to somebody who, when they started to play poker, they didn't even have a clue.
Yeah, when I started to play poker, I didn't even have a clue. I still don't have too much of a clue. So, but I think that the points that you guys raise are really valid, good points. And what both of you are saying is know your players, take some time, watch how people play, be a little bit conservative until you kind of get the feeling of the table, and then look at your hand with the shift tilde key and kind of make a note of the order of hands that Hassler gave us and move accordingly. I'm not an expert at either of these games, but I just, the community at All in Play is a very friendly, open, helpful community. And Hassler, I wonder if you would speak a bit to sort of when people come in new to the table, do folks perhaps if they realize that it's a newbie, do they kind of make an effort to reach out and help folks?
Well, I would like to think that I do. In saying that, if you get a newbie that comes into the big tables, where I must admit I tend to spend most of my time, first of all, they're really not that intelligent if they come into that big table with just 2,000 chips in their pocket, you know. And there's some guys who will just simply blow them away. And for me, I would do my best to keep them in the game. I wouldn't simply guess them if I could help it. So, you know, the first and foremost, you've got to build your skills up. But going back to what you're saying, that you don't really need a great deal of poker skill, because it's a game of chance. It depends what cards turn up for you. Your hand will more or less take care of itself. The real skill is guessing what your playing partners are going to do or what they're thinking. That's where I think the real skill is, outthinking your opponents.
And what about you, CB? What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, as I say, it is better to stay to the lower tables. And I think, now I would like to think that new people are getting the help if they go into an expert table. The problem that occurs is that new people, just like any of us, would want to go where people are. So, I am always talking to the greeters about, you know, if you see a new person, they come into your table, you're at an expert table. You know, try to make the time to take them to a lower table. You know, you may have to give up, you know, and I've done that before. I've left in the middle of, like, if I'm playing Crazy Eights, I've left in the middle of hands. If I'm, you know, I don't go to the higher tables for poker, so that's really not becoming a problem. But I think that, you know, that does become a problem where, you know, new people will do exactly what we would do. And for poker, it's particularly a problem because if you go sit at a lower table and nobody happens to be around at that time, then, you know, you're just going to be sitting there because there are no bots to play. There's nothing, I mean, it's not like Crazy Eights where you can just go and sit. So I think that sometimes new people just go into the higher tables, so it really has nothing to do with, as Hassler was putting it, intelligence. I think it has to do with just they're going where they see people. If there are three people at a higher table and there's nobody else at any, and they decide, I'm a poker player, I want to play poker, you know, they're not thinking about their chips. They're thinking about, oh, there's people up there, I can go play with these people.
Know when to walk away.
Yeah, I think that's a mistake that any new person would make. So again, take your time, start off conservatively, and work your way up. Before we close, and I guess I'll start with CB and then see if Hassler has anything to add. Would you tell us, CB, how do people join All in Play? And, of course, to play in the tourney, you don't have to be a member of All in Play. And hopefully you'll go to the tourney and you'll get so darned addicted to it like I do when I go, that you will want to join All in Play. But, how do people, if they want to join, what do they need to do to join?
Okay, well, they can go to www.allinplay.com and There's a Play Now link, and that will allow them to get a trial membership, which is 15 days free, and at the end of the 15 days, then they can become a paying member. Now, during those 15 days, you know, they can play the games. You know, it's unlimited, and so they have an opportunity to try it out.
Hassler, could you tell us what the bots are?
You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Well, the bots are the automatic rescue for when you run out of chips. When you're at the tables and you're gambling away and you run out of chips, you have an opportunity to go to play two bots against two robots, if you like. And the little secret there is just keep folding. Just lose one chip every time until you come up with a nice hand and let the bots raise and just go for them. That's a little tip on how to beat the bots. But once you eliminate these two characters from the game, you win 2,000 chips. So that's accredited back to your account, and you can go back to the real world again and start over.
All right. Well, this all sounds very fascinating, and I so appreciate the fact that you both came back a second time. CB, you gave some contact information yesterday, as did Hassler. So let's conclude the interview with how can folks contact first you, CB, and then we'll turn to Hassler. And I really hope folks will pop on over to allinplay.com and check it out. It really is addictive. I haven't been there in a while. I need to go back, but... Oh, first I thought the Crazy Eights was what would get me, and then when I dared to go and play poker, oh dear, I didn't know which I was addicted to more strongly. So CB, how do people get hold of you if they've got a question that I didn't think of here in this interview?
Okay, well, I'm going to share a couple of things in closing. First of all, if anyone would like to get a hold of me, they can write to me at greeterleader@allinplay.com. And I would like to share with people out there that when you become a trial member, we have what's called meet and greets, which allow new people to come. It allows them a time, I should say, that there are people, there are volunteers that are definitely available. And we staff the tables, and we will help people. We're at the social tables and low stakes tables, and of course there are two meet and greet tables. And basically what we will do is, depending on what a particular new person's need is, if someone is struggling learning the games or just doesn't, you know, if somebody's like me and they come to poker, they don't have a clue, they're going to need someone to really like spend time with them and actually teach the game. So we will either teach the game, or sometimes it's just somebody wants to come out and, you know, meet folks. And I think in some ways there have been misperceptions about the M&Gs for a long time now. In terms of, I was speaking with a new person the other day, and they said that the reason they didn't attend the meet and greet sessions is because they knew the games. So I think the only thing I really want to emphasize here for anybody who may be out there who isn't familiar with All in Play and maybe is thinking about joining, is the meet and greets have something for everyone. That, you know, it's a fun time. The main object is to have fun, but for people who need to learn, I mean, we do float time during the week, but, you know, the volunteers do float time during the week, which basically means that we're there, we go to the social tables and the low stakes tables and everything, but it's not a specific set time. It's whenever volunteers can give their time. And so we end up having those specific times that if people want to come, learn the games, meet other people, get introduced to people throughout the community, and have the new people even meet each other, you know. The one thing they have in common is that they're new, and you know, maybe one new person meeting another new person might find other things in common with that person. And, of course, it gives them a chance to meet us and for us to meet them, and so that we can establish a rapport and be able to help them a lot better. So
great. Why don't you say your email one more time?
Okay, well, it's the sessions are called Meet and Greet Sessions, and the email is greeterleader, GREETERLEADER, at allinplay.com.
What about you, Hassler? People want to get some more of those high roller, high stakes, knock 'em dead poker tips that I didn't think to ask about. How do people get hold of you?
Well, they can certainly ask. My email is robin at scottishblindgolf.com, scottishblindgolf, all one word. And that's a little plug for another organization I'm heavily involved with. You can email me on there if anybody wants to contact me. But the other thing to mention here is there's a community mailing list at All in Play. I think it is allinplay-community at yahoogroups.com. You can subscribe to that and you'll get help on that list as well. But just to close by saying that we've spoken so much about the stress or the competitiveness of the poker game, but you know, I've been lucky to be a millionaire once, but in the last 6 months or so, or a year or so, I just play to have fun, and I've had so many times sitting at a table with people like Georgia Lady, Lovebugs, Sweetness, Mags, Pussycat, and really I haven't a clue how many chips changed hands. We just sat there and chatted back and forward and just sarcastic comments and fun comments to each other, and it was really funny, and the poker itself was forgotten, so there's that side to it as well. So come on, join. It's worth the trip.
Yes, I discovered that at the Crazy Eights table and some at the poker table, but I've spent more time at Crazy Eights. That for our listeners who don't know what we're talking about, All in Play does also have a chat, text chat that you can use while you're playing, and it's just really cool. And I know I've chatted a few words to CB here and there when I've been at the tables, and everyone has always been extremely gracious to me, and my nickname on All in Play is Marlena, because I couldn't think of anything else. So if you see me there, be tender. Well, I want to thank you both so very much for joining me today here in the Our Place facility of acbradio.org. And for anyone listening, if you don't know about this chat facility, it's a nicely kept secret, unintentionally kept secret, because we're always advertising it. But there are several rooms here. You can come to www.ourplace.acbradio.org, and we happen to be in the speakeasy room, but there's a variety of other rooms, and feel free to download the iVocalize chat client and use the rooms. That's what they're there for. So I'm going to just key up here for a sec and see if my guests have anything else to add, and then we'll close it on up.
Not a problem. It's been a pleasure. So you can go and have that coffee now, and I'll just go and pour a nice little Scotch whiskey. Have a nice evening.
You have a nice evening as well, and I know it's later over there, and you've been through the workday, so thank you so much. And CB, thank you so much as well. I know you're in Pennsylvania, so not quite as far as Scotland, but, you know, it's all relative.
I just want to let anybody who may be wanting to join, who may have just heard about the site, that as far as poker is concerned, we have a table where you get practice chips. So if someone's saying, oh, but I don't want to go to a table and lose all, because I'll tell you, when I first started poker, I thought, you know, I'm going to lose my chips the first time I do anything at a table, not realizing even how the game works. And a lot of new people, when they come to the site, they don't realize how the game works, and they don't realize that there is that table that you can, you know, the worst that happens is if you lose all your chips at that table, you just get politely removed from the table, but you can just turn around and come right back in, and you get a whole new set of chips to play with. So, and for the most part, we, you know, the people that are at that table or that come to that table, they're nice people and want to play and just, you know, whatever. They're not going to, like, just take all your chips and all. And then, of course, you have the option of folding, but it also has a lot of time on it, so if somebody's going, but I don't know if I can learn this game, and as Marlena said, there's text chat. So if you're thinking, oh, I'll never learn, you know, I'm not sure what I'm doing, you know, remember, you're talking to a person who was clueless, and that was, like, maybe as short as, gosh, maybe 6 months ago, I was, like, still clueless, like, well, you know, because when I first became a greeter, I just did crazy eights. I had no desire to do poker, but I decided that I needed to expand and learn poker. And so those are options that are available. And again, if anybody wants to contact me, because if you go to that table and sit there and no one knows what time, you know, you like to play or whatever, it's not going to be a situation where you're going to necessarily find somebody. It just depends if anybody's checking the tables at that point. So the best thing probably to do if you wanted to, if somebody was new and wanted to do something like that, would be to email me at greeterleader@allinplay.com, and I can at that point work with them to set something up.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, CB. Thank you so much, Hessler. And I know you're going to see some new folks over there at the tables as a result of this interview. And I'll email you guys and let you know for sure on what Sunday it'll be aired. And then it'll replay for 24 hours after that. So you'll be infamous on the internet. I'm Marlena Lieberg, and you've been listening to a very special program on the Marlena program right here on ACB Radio Mainstream. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great day.
Every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away, knowing what to keep, because every hand's a winner, and every hand's a loser, and the best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. And when he finished speaking, he turned back toward the window, crushed out a cigarette, faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count time enough to count when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold,
when to hold,
know when to fold,
when to fold,
know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough to count when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough to count when the deal is done.
Oh, that was a fun interview to record. I'm Marlena. We've got just about 7 more minutes left on the Marlena program, and if Gary the board guy can open the lines. Oh, I've got all kinds of things going on here. If Gary the board guy can open the lines, why, we can perhaps grab one more call here before the end of the program. I hope you enjoyed that. I apologize for the quality of the audio. It's a little bit difficult, you know, when you're working through the internet to get the kind of good quality that we can get on the phone patch. So, but I hope you plan to participate in the second ACB pre-convention open that will begin next weekend at www.allinplay.com with a crazy eights, as Rachel said, 24 crazy hours of crazy eights starting June 25th and then starting June 18th, and then on June 25th, of course, is the poker tournament, the actual ACB pre-convention open poker tournament. And I would be horribly remiss if I did not express my huge, huge gratitude on behalf of the folks putting this tournament together, All in Play, and the folks at ACB Radio and the folks at ACB. I would be hugely remiss if I did not express my gratitude to the ACB store under the management of Marvelena Quesada, who will be donating some extraordinarily cool gift certificates for some extraordinarily cool things. And we've also got some other prizes, but the promotions coordinator didn't give me permission to say who they were. So I won't announce that. That will be in the TBA category. 866-666-7926. If you want to jump on here at the very last part of the Marlena program, I'd love to have you. Had a wonderful week this week. We took off on a big silver bird, a Boeing 757 to be precise. Flew to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and spent, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, four lovely days with Nikki Kobe and her family, and watched Nikki graduate from high school, which was just really cool to see. Nikki is on the junior member of the NABS board, and we've got a quick call. Hello, caller.
Yes, this is Don Stevens, parliamentarian from last year's convention and parliamentarian upcoming convention.
Oh, yes, Don, I want to hook up with you to bring you on the program.
Well, that's what I was calling about. I was trying to get in touch with Dave. I talked with him about a week ago, and he was to call me, but I haven't heard from him. This is who, Marlena?
Yes, yes. And you're on the air right now, and Dave did leave me a voicemail with your number, and I've been out of town all week. So I'm going to give you a call at the beginning of the week, and hopefully we could schedule this for next Sunday.
Well, I sure hope so. I was in touch with Chris, and he was excited about it and hoped that we could arrange something.
Well, if you're free next Sunday, I'd love to have you on.
I will make the time, okay?
Well, there you go. That's fabulous. I'll give you a call, tomorrow and explain how the whole thing works, and we'll bring you on and get some of these parliamentary questions answered.
Well, that'll be good. I have some things I can share with them that we are going to pass through the board, and if that gets okayed, then it will be helpful to the people attending the convention.
Great. Well, I look forward to it, Don.
Thank you, Marlena.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye. What a great guy he is. I had the fortune of sitting at dinner with Don Stevens. We sat at the same banquet table together. And he's just, we've certainly always had wonderful parliamentarians, and just, I just so admire that people take that degree of interest in democracy. But Don also seems to me to take an interest in us and in the organization. And so there you have it. Next Sunday, we will have Don Stevens, the parliamentarian for the upcoming ACB convention. And please stay tuned. We'll bring Don on in the first hour. So he will be on from 9 to 10 Eastern, 6 to 7 Pacific, 1 to 2 Universal. And speaking of time, we better get the heck out of here because if I don't, the automation will do it for me. Hey, it's been great to be with you. Please come back next week. If you have any suggestions, comments, concerns, or criticisms, please feel free to contact me. I'm Marlena, M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, at acbradio.org. You've been listening to Marlena on ACB Radio. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. But in the meantime, if you've got an idea for a future show, why not drop me an email? The email address is Marlena, that's M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, at acbradio.org. Thanks to Dave Williams, director of ACB Radio, and most of all, thanks to you, the listener. See you next week.